Been so long, I tell you, boy. It's good to see everybody here tonight,
man. This tour portion is so incredible, and I'm hoping to take you on just a little journey before I kind of jump to the slide. I've got some stuff we want to point out in the scripture that come to me, and I want to be able to share it with y'all because it has to do with standing, where we're at today, and we're going to look at. Why are we standing? What are some of the reasons why we're here? And who are we standing for? You're not here to be standing because of me, because I'm the speaker tonight. I can promise you. But we want to look into the scriptures. Let's see what the scripture says. Not what I say tonight, but just want to see what the scripture says and looking at this. And it's Torah portion 51. Boy, we are wrapping this Torah portions up. We're almost done. And before you know it, we'll start right back. I can't wait to start over. This has been incredible. I've learned so much. And we've come so far, from where we started from to where we're at now. I can see the progression in everybody, especially myself. I got to look at me first. But anyway, it's Netzarim. And it's Hebrew for one standing. And we got to know, what was said Friday night and Shabbat morning. Who's standing? Everybody. Your leaders, your children, the one who chops the wood, the one who pours your water, we're all standing. And that's one of the reasons we're here today. We all have to stand. If you're not standing for him, then why are you even here? We had to stand before because we got our marching orders. We were going to war. We had to learn how to stand and be counted. Now we're standing because we're about to make covenant with Yehovah. He wants to perform a covenant with us, but we have to do something. One thing, we have to be obedient. Amen. So we're going to get started here, and that's some stuff I have to read. What do you know? So we're going to need this. Like I said, I'm going to take you on a little journey. And I guess always a good place to start, and pastors always mention it. Let's go to Matthew's. And this is just something that I added in my notes this morning. Matthew 24. And then after we read this, we're going to go to the left of Matthew's. This is good stuff and where the real good stuff is. Because what did Yeshua say? The words that I speak, they're not my words. They're the words of the Father. So we're going to go see what the Father says also. But let's look at Matthew 24 and verse 12. And like I said, I know we've been under a lot of pressure lately. Things that's been happening here, things that's going on in our community, in our church. But you know what? I'm still standing. I'm still with you. You should still be standing. And if I said anything wrong, I probably shouldn't have said, I apologize to those here and to those who are not here. Because what Yahweh made that covenant with? Those who are here and those who are not here. He said, I'm making this covenant with you. So I don't want to say I apologize. But what I don't apologize for the word. Because the word is going to be the word. He said, my word will not return void. So when I say that, I'm going to stand upon the... Not what I think. I'm going to stand on the principle of his word. So let's look at this verse. I think this is very important. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, he says, and because of the increase in lawlessness, the love of many shall become cold. That hit me this morning, because why is Yeshua even saying this? Because of lawlessness. When I look around, there's a lot of lawlessness going on in the world. And because of it, not just in the world, it's here. And we're living it out. Because if we don't think we're in the last days, we better be paying attention, because we're going to get to that. He said, because lawlessness increased, the love of many gonna wax cold. And we see this happening right now in our own church. Because there's some are not standing here with us today. And it's sad. It really is. Because we, as a body, as a group, stand together. You wash my back. I watch my back. Not wash my back. Watch my back. I watch your back. Because we're all in this together. That's no big I, no little you, no little you big I. That's none of that. We're in here together as a family, as a flock. He says, but he who shall have endured until the end shall be saved. If I can change a word in the scripture, I don't want to change that word endure. And it said the word, he is standing until the end. It's, let me tell you, when I went through this morning, and this has been on me since last week, because you know, I had this message already for last week, but because I was late, I guess, you know, y'all want me, his timing is not my timing. So I have to go in his time. What he says is I need to listen. So, but this is why he's here today. Because I already knew Friday night when Pastor to speak, I already knew what I had to speak on for the Wednesday. I already knew I had Wednesday night service. But it just, when you look at his words, what is he saying? Because of lawlessness. And we can't, what is lawlessness? It's not digging into the Torah. It's doing opposite of what the Torah teaches us to do. What it commands for us to do. That's lawlessness. All of that stuff that's outside the world, we know that's lawlessness already, because once they transgressed in the garden, there was lawlessness all over then. It's all over the world. But I'm talking about here in the body. Lawlessness is when we transgress what he says. So just look at that scripture and let it, and just chew on it for a little bit, because it says the love of many is going to wax cold. He said, you know, it's tough standing this time. So now we're going to go left of Matthew, but we're going to come back because there's something else I got to read back here in this section. But let's go left of Matthew. Let's go to Jeremiah. Let me tell you, you don't make this stuff up. You want to know where I get it from. It just, when he wants you to say something, he wants you to find something, you're going to see it if you're looking. In Jeremiah chapter 29, we're going to see that Israel was in trouble because of disobedience. Because of their stubbornness and their hard-headed, of their lawlessness, they got exiled. And that's how we feel. That's how, when I look at our body, that's how I feel. I feel like we're in exile. But Yah has a plan and a purpose for us, and we're going to get to that. But if when you look around, man, sometimes you might even question, are we even on the right road? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to listen to what he says. And these are the words, starting at verse 1. And these are the words of the letter which Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the rest of the elders of the exile, and to the priest, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had exiled from Jerusalem to Babel. After Yeconiah the sovereign, and the sovereigness's mother, and the eunuch, and the heads of Yehuda and Jerusalem, and the craftsmen and the smith had gone into exile from Jerusalem. I think he's covering everybody here. So when we're standing, it's everybody stands. I stand, the one that chopped the wood. Nobody's getting left out. They're all in exile right here. They're in a mess, in a bind. And that's how I feel when it comes time when we come here, like we're in a mess, we're in a bind. What do we do? Remember why we're here. Remember why you come here. I don't come here just to socialize, to see, which I love, come see everybody, trust me. But I come here for the word, because I need it. Because you know that the battles that we're going to face in life, they don't get easy. So we have to pay attention. I never seen the word so strong and heavy like we need it now today, like when we needed 30 years ago. I really wish I had this 30 years ago. But I'm glad it's for today that we have it. By the hand, Verse 3, by the hand of Eliasaph, son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, sovereign of Yehuda, sent to Babel, to Nebuchadnezzar, the sovereign of Babel, saying. Now, verse 4. Thus says Yehovah of hosts. How many of you know when the scriptures, when it comes out and it says, thus says Yehovah of hosts, our radar should be in tune. This thing between our ears. We should be in tune with thus says Yehovah about to say. Amen. We should be listening for when he speaks. One thing out of all this, what we should have learned, we should have learned what Yeshua said. Nothing. He said when he was brought before the council and the matter, when he was falsely accusing him and when they were speaking bad about him and bring up a false report, the scripture said he opened not his mouth. We should have learned that, but we didn't. You know that when he says, verse 4, I thought about this today. When he says, thus says Yehovah our host, be tuned into this. Because I read this probably 10 times since last week. And I think about our brain as a radar. And on a radar, you got these couple buttons that you have to tune in for the clutter. One is for clutter. You know there's a lot of clutter today. Amen. That's out there. Now, I'm not saying don't go home, throw your TV outside, and don't play on your phone, whatever. But when it involves too much of your time, when it's consuming your time, that's a lot of clutter. Another thing is tune in for the rain. Because when it's raining and it's heavy, you on the radar, you can't see. So you got to tune into that. For y'all ladies that don't know about radar, this is what a captain does. He has to tune in for that. Because there's so much junk on the screen, you can't see your targets. So you have to tune in for the rain. And also, there's another one, is for the sea. There's a lot of clutter in the sea. Because so much wave action, you can't see your target. So you got to take some of that stuff out. So our brain acts like a radar. So when dust says you have our host, radar should be working. Adjust them. Elohim of Israel to all the exile, whom I exiled from Jerusalem to Babel. He said, what's this got to do with standing? Well, we're about to find out. Because I'm going to bring it all together. I promise we're going to get back to the slide. Build houses and dwell in them. What? What is y'all talking about? We in exile. And he's talking about build houses? When you go down a few more chapters, in chapter, I think it's 32 or 34, he says, buy my field. Buy a field? We're still in exile. You want me to buy a field? He said, because what he's saying, build houses and dwell in them. And we're in exile. Plant gardens and eat the fruit. See, y'all knows. Everything that happened around here in this building, y'all is never surprised. We never catch him on surprise, I promise you. It might be something that might be a shock to us, might be a surprise to us, but it's not to him. It's how we react. How the Torah teaches us how to act. That's what we need to be focused at. So let's see what else Yah says. Take wives and bring forth sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands. And let them bear sons and daughters and be increased there and not be diminished. Yah wants us to grow. We have to pay attention. But we're in a siege. And he's talking about building houses? Stand. He said when you haven't done all, stand. So it's tough when you're in exile to stand. It's tough to be here. When my brothers are out there, and they're not here with me. But what does the word say? And seek the peace of the city where I have exiled you. And pray to Yehovah for it is peace, and you have peace. So it doesn't matter where you're at. Pray for the peace where you're at. Because that's what he said. Yeshua was in the boat. I think I shared this with me and Becky not too long ago. I went through a little incident, one guy. Yeshua was in the boat and there's a storm. But I want to say this first. And what is he doing? He's sleeping. But everybody else is in a panic. But he's sleeping. So one time I was coming with a load on the boat. Going over to, across the river. I had to go. And they put like 8,000 pounds on the boat. It was heavy. And here I am, just calm as can be, just cruising along. Come up Tiger Pass and go out Grand and cut across the bay there. Come out of Grand. I wasn't watching the weather. I mean, I don't pay no mind. It was a pretty day. But the wind picked up. And let me tell you, when I got halfway across by Riverside, the boat, there was a few swells, the boat took a dip. When it took a dip, I mean, I'm paying attention. They not. I had two other guys on the boat with me. I peeled back right away. And I watched the boat just nose up and it popped up. But it had a lot of water on the deck. The one guy ran to the back of the boat. He said, "Buddy, you all right?" He said, "Yeah, we good." I said, "What's the?" He said, "Man, here's the guy." That guy started laughing. He said, "Boy, you started to panic, huh?" I said, "Let me tell you something. When I'm captain, don't panic. When I panic, then you can panic. Until then, don't panic. So, remember, don't panic. But hey, look, right here, they in exile. What are y'all talking about? Build houses. Don't panic. We're going through a storm. Don't panic. Stand with him. Because you know, you're not alone. You might feel like alone because it's dark. I'm going to get to Yeshua, what he felt alone. For thus said Jehovah of hosts, verse 8, here we go again. Get your radar's tuned. Elohim of Israel. Wait, hold on, let me make sure. Yeah. For thus said Jehovah of hosts, Elohim of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you. Neither listen to dreams which you are dreaming, for they are prophesying falsely to you in my name. One thing we never want to do is prophesy falsely in Yah's name, because then you know what? You're bringing his name to naught. Amen. Saying he said something he never said, and we know that he said don't do that. For they are prophesying falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares Jehovah. For thus says Jehovah, when 70 years are completed at Babel, I shall visit you and establish my good word toward you and bring you back to this place. He's going to bring you back to the land that he's promised. And so this is the whole theme of the scripture, what we learn about the land. Because Moshe is fixing to die here and Joshua is fixing to cross. And what do we need? The land. But we know that they inherited some of the land, but the land spewed him out. You know why? Because of disobedience. Because of lawlessness. And that's what happened. They got spewed out of the land. 70 years in the captivity. Did Yah hold his promise? He did. But he let them know, this is what's going to happen to you. Verse 11. For I know the plans I am planning for you, declares Jehovah. Out of all this, I know the plans I have for you. That was one of my opening lines. I read to Miss Silva the day we said our vows. I know the plans I have for you. I don't know them. You know, I got to go to him for the plans. But he already knew the plan. How awesome is that? Plans of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and an expectancy. He knows what's good for you. He knows what you need. He knows what I need. After all, he created us. You don't think he knows what we need? We got to be kidding ourselves. We think we know better. And you shall seek me and shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's a lot of clutter. Like I said, we got to learn to tune down and to learn to seek him a little more, especially in these times that we're going through, in these dark times. Because we're going to see a time in Yeshua's life that he went through dark time. But you think, what he did? He laid the foundation for us. For what? For us to stand. And here we are today. That foundation still stands today. It's called the Word. And it's still here for us today. It's for those, those who are not here today. And I shall be found by you, declares Jehovah. And I shall turn back your captivity. And shall gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares Jehovah. And I shall bring you back to the place from which I have exiled you. Because you have said, Jehovah has raised up for prophets for us in Babel. Thus says Jehovah concerning the sovereign who sits on the throne of thy weed, concerning all the people who dwell in this city, and concerning your brothers who have not gone with you into exile. Thus says Jehovah of hosts, see, I am sending on them the sword, the scarcity of food, and the pestilence. What he said, there's a blessing and there's a cursing. A blessing if you obey, and a curse if you disobey. And those who are being disobedient that have not been exiled with you, he said, I'm going to deal with them. It's not for us to deal with them. He said, I'm going to repay. Vengeance is mine. One thing we don't have to do is don't worry about defending him. Trust me, he don't need our help. He wants us, but he don't need our help. We need him. Amen. Thus says Yehovah of hosts, verse 17, see, I'm sending on them the sword, the scarcity of food, and the pestilence, and I shall make them like spoilt figs, so spoilt as to be uneatable. I don't know about y'all, but we have a fig tree in the backyard. This year, our figs were uneatable. They were spoiled. And a lot, if you get a lot of rain on them, they really get sour. Ain't that right, Pop? And I shall pursue them with the sword, with scarcity of food, and with pestilence. And I shall make them a horror among all the rains of the earth, to be a curse. A what? A curse. And an astonishment, and a hissing, and a reproach among all the nations where I have driven them. For they did not heed my words, declares Jehovah, which I sent to them by my servant the prophet, rising up early and sending them. Yet you did not listen, declares Jehovah. For you, therefore, hear the word of Jehovah, all you exiles, whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babel. Hear the word, people, and take note when he speaks. Because he knows he has the plan for you. It's for good, not for evil. He wants to bring you to a place, but it's not going to come easy. I'm sorry that it won't come easy. I don't think I had. Y'all can go back and finish read the chapter. But I just had to point that out because it feels like we're in this area right here. Where are we at in exile? First thing we know, where is Yah at all this? He's here. He's right here. He tell you build houses. He tells you, let your sons and daughters marry. This is what he says in the word. He said, don't worry, I'm in control. That's what he's saying. Now let's see why we gather here. What's the reason why we say what we say? We speak what we speak. What he called us to do, to stand. Let's look at Mark. Chapter 14. And let's start at verse 26. And having sung a song, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Yeshua said to them, all of you shall stumble in me this night. What? We're supposed to be standing. He said, all of you are going to stumble of me this night. For it has been written, I shall smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after I am raised, I shall go before you to Galilee. And Kepha said to him, even if all should stumble, yet not I. Do that when we say that? I'm going to go the distance. He's going to hold you to it. You make that vow, he's going to hold you to it. And Yeshua said to him, truly I say to you today, this night, before the cock shall crow twice, you shall deny me three times. But he spoke more strongly. If I have to die with you, what? Boy, Peter's serious. At least he's saying he's serious. But the test's going to come for him. What are we saying here? Are we going to stand? And when the test comes, even if I got to die, that's the kind of love that you're going to see here. Yeshua is going to point out here in a little bit. Because what did he say? Greater love. Had no man. Is there any greater love? He said, there's no greater love than a man would lay down his life for his friend. Are you willing to lay down your life for your friend, for your neighbor? for your sister right here, for your brother over here. That's love. When you give up your life for them. This is what he's about to do. He's about to give up his life. Because why? You know, back when you go back in Jeremiah, you know why the covenant we were about to get into? Because we were divorced. Y'all had no choice but to divorce us for our hard-headedness, our stubbornnesses, our crookednesses, our lawlessness. Can't make up our mind, in and out, wishy-washy. And we see the effects of some of it today. I'm glad for y'all that are here still standing. But the test comes. It comes to prove the test. See, if you're going to endure to the end, if you're going to stand to the end, the test comes. But he spoke more strongly. If I have to die with you, I shall not deny you. And they all said the same thing. All that you say, Yehovah, we will do. Remember these words? Not too long ago was at Mount Sinai. All that you said we're going to do. Tell Moshe. And get mad at Moshe when Moshe tells them. And they came to the place called Gethsemane. And he said to his taught ones, sit here while I pray. And he took with him Kepha and Yaakov and Yohanan. And he began to be greatly amazed. That threw me for a loop. When I said greatly amazed, I'm like, what in the world is that? How can you be greatly amazed? And to be deeply distressed. But he took three people with him. The one that was with him from the beginning. Peter, James, and John. So I had to look that up, that greatly amazed, because I'm like, okay, he's feeling the pressure, but he's greatly amazed. So I didn't want to get this right. So I had to go look it up. I don't know if I can say the word. It's the Greek. I forgot. Oh, I have it right here. I'm sorry. I go back to my notes. It's the Greek word ekathambo. You can go listen to it for yourself. It's G1568. To astonish utterly, affright, greatly sore amazed. To throw in the terror of amazement. Because how great is that darkness going to be that he's about to face? It's going to be a dark time in his life. He even gets so dark, he even says, Father, why have you forsaken me? That's dark. To alarm thoroughly, to terrify, to be struck with amazement, to be thoroughly amazed, astounded, to be struck with terror. So it's not amazed like you're happy amazed, I can promise you. It's not, don't get that twisted. But that's why I had to go back and check it out for myself. And he said to them, my being is exceedingly grieved, even to death. Stay here and watch. He gives us a command. Stay here and watch. Stand. And he went a little further and fell on the ground and was praying that if it was possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father. And Matthew said, oh, my Father. If it's possible, make this all is possible for you. Make this cup pass from me. Yet not what I desire, but what you desire. What is your desire? You know, I looked at that, and I mentioned it in the Midrash one time. It just a few days in the Matthew account, but I go to the Mark account, and Mark is saying the same thing. Oh, my Father. Abba, he's crying out. That's something we got to take note of in the scripture. Because it's going to take some crying out to stand. And he came and found them sleeping. And said to Kepha, Simon, are you sleeping? Really? My life is on the line, and you're sleeping. Were you not able to watch 1 hour? Watch and pray. That's what he gives another command. Watch and pray. Lest you enter into trial. The spirit is indeed is eager, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spoke the same word, Abba, Father, if it's possible, let it pass. That's what we said. Do we say that thing? We don't want to go through this trial of testing, but it has to. We can't change it, but you can stand and show him that you're willing to stand. You're not compromising. We're not changing our message. We're not changing our story. We're going to stand upon his word, the principle, and do what he says and like it. Because there's blessings that come with it. There's also cursings. And he warns you about the curse. He says, choose life. How amazing is that? And again, he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And having returned, he found them again, asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And they did not know what to answer him. And he came a third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Really? Three times. And we're still sleeping. Couldn't even stay up. They were speechless. You know, today, I thought about it when I was, my wife said, babe, you ready for the night? Yeah. I told her, I said, I come in early, 11 o'clock. But I had quiet time to myself. I said, and I was praying, you know, on the boat. And I get away from all the clutter, all the noise, while the guys are working. That is really my quiet, my sanctuary. And I get on there and I'm thinking, I said, man, boy, I'm going to get in early today. And I can take me a little nap. But I opened my mouth. I said, yeah, don't let me sleep. I said, let this be him. I don't want to sleep. Let me tell you, I came in at 11 o'clock. And what I spoke came to pass. My wife can tell you. T. John came and another boat was broke down. I took that boat in. I had to swap the foot out, bring that boat up the river. I got home, Brother Chad called. He said, you made it? I said, I just got home. There was no sleeping today. I didn't get a chance to get a nap. So sometimes you watch what you ask for. He'll put it in you to test you. Oh, but I'm going to sleep good tonight. And he came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. See, the son of Adam is being delivered up into the hands of the sinners. Rise up and let us go. See, he who is delivering me up has drawn near. I just want to share these things with you because there's going to be time of testing that we're going to go through. So you say, well, what are we going to do now? Where do we go? You stand. And then what do we do? You go back to the script. You don't deviate from the path. He put us on this path. There's no time to bail out. You don't bail out because you got a load on the boat and it looks like it might be going down. Hey, you gotta trust your training. So what's our training? What's the Torah? Our schoolmaster is teaching us. Because look, there's reward in the end. But you have to stand to the end. You have to endure. Let me read it to you. Let's go right of Matthew's. Not left of Matthew. Let's go to the right. Let's look what Shaul said in 2 Timothy. I don't want to leave y'all hanging and think that you're not going to be rewarded. You have to be found faithful. Let's go, chapter. Oh, I'll fix that. chapter 4. Let's go, verse 1. In the sight of Elohim and the Master Yeshua Messiah, this is the word of Shaul, who everybody says, he kind of the one that put the Torah to sleep. We don't need the Torah, really. Okay. If that's what you're going with, you might as well turn on the light, close your door. If that's what you're going to fall in that trap, that people say Shaul said, well, let's see what he says. Because I like what he wrote here to Timothy. In the sight of Elohim and the Master Yeshua Messiah, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his reign, I earnestly charge you at his coming. He's going to be the judge. He's coming. We just have to stand. If our eyes see it when we get here, we're blessed. But if we're in the grave, you're still blessed because you hold on to his word. Because he said, what did he say? The dead in Christ shall rise first. So whether you see it with your own eyes, standing on your 2 feet, or whether you're in the ground 3 feet down, 6 feet down, it doesn't matter. He knows where you're at all times. David said, though I make my bed in Sheol, he's there. There's no place you can go. Verse 2, proclaim the word. What? This is what we're here for, to proclaim the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convict. Warn, appeal with all patience and teaching. For there shall be a time, and I believe that time is now, when they shall not bear sound teaching, but according to their own desire. What we learn about that? Wormwood. Their own desires. They shall heap up for themselves teachers, tickling the ear. I ain't here to tickle nobody's ear. I'm here to tell you what the scripture said, because this ain't Scott's word. Only word I gave Scott that I told myself today was, thou shalt take a nap. I said, that's Scott's translation. Because, boy, I wanted it. Well, I ain't get it. All right. She said, babe, that's not in the, you know it. I know. And they shall indeed turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to myths. I know that's never happened around here before. But you, be sober in all matters. Suffer hardship. You think you suffer hardship on your back, laying down in your bed? No. It's when you stand. Because when you're standing for him, you're the target. Those who are not making a stand, those who are cowardly, standing by, he's not worried about them no more. You're on the front line. Remember, you got children. You got loved ones. You got mom, dad, husband, wives, friends. If you fail to stand, what are their chances of making it? Ask yourself that question. Do the work of an evangelist. Accomplish your service completely. Means, what evangelist? He goes out and he proclaims the word. That's what we ought to be doing. For I am ready, being poured out, and the time of my departure has arrived. I have fought the good fight. How many of us can say that? I have finished the race. I have guarded the belief. For the rest, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. You're not in it for nothing. Trust me. You'll be paid in full. Whether it be the crown of righteousness or whether it be depart from me. That's a blessing and a cursing. You're going to get either one. It's what are we standing for? What do we choose to stand for? Which the master, the righteous judge. What? Hallelujah. Shall give to me on that day. There's a day coming when you will get paid for your standing. You'll get paid for your steadfastness. You'll get paid for your attendance and everything else that goes along with these words. You're getting paid. And not only me, and not me only, but also all those loving his appearing. All those who loving his Torah and obedient to his Torah, who want to be obedient and should be obedient. But for the rest, it's going to be a sad day. Because the scripture tells us, in that day that you're getting your crown of righteousness, in that day there's going to be another day. There's going to be a day for someone else that's not going to receive their crown. He's going to say, depart from me, I don't know you. That's troubling words. Scripture says in that day they're going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's get back to the script. That's what I'm going to stick to. I'm going to stick to the road that he put us on. Remember the two guys on the road to Emmaus? What he did? He proclaimed the word to them. He said it burned within them. Because what did he talk about? Moshe and the prophets. So what are we going to talk about here? Moshe and the prophets. We're going to get these slides and we're going to chew on them. And when we're done with this one, we're going to get ready for next week's one. That's coming Friday. Man, these Torah portions come fast. Hey, it is Elohim who makes covenant with us. Slide 61. 62. He makes a covenant with us and causes us to be able to stand before him and enter into his covenant of promise. The Hebrew word that is translated as makes comes from the root word karath, Strong's H3772, which means to cut off, cut down, cut covenant. And you know, we had to cut covenant. He cut a covenant with Abraham. You can go read that in Genesis 15. By the way, these were short slides, only 160. I was like, that's it? But it has so much information in it that we can learn from it. There's so much extra reading in there. It takes a little time. It takes a little time to pull up all these Hebrew words. Because you try to say them. But then you got to go to the Strong. You got to pull them up and make sure they say. I try to look for make sure the numbers matching the definition. If not, I got to, hey, Pastor. Every now and then I got to give him a call. Hey, I can't find this one. So it's okay to go back and check work. That's what we do. It's homework. You take it home. That's when you get it here. It's your homework for you to go home with. But it's Elohim who makes covenant with us. He made that covenant with Abraham when he said, when you look up, and if you can count the stars, that's how your descendants are going to be. And the scripture said he believed Elohim when Elohim said that, and it was counted to him for righteousness. It is in Bereshit, Genesis 15, that we see how Yehovah made a covenant with Abram. And this root word, Korah, Strong's H3772, is used in reference to the covenant made with Abraham and was made by the cutting of animals and the flow of their blood, which covenant was restored in the perfect blood of Messiah, the sinless lamb whose blood satisfies what the animals could never. And so herein, we were given the clear prophetic promise of the sure and secure covenant that Yehovah would make in his own blood. How awesome is that? Incredible. Look, because why? What did I say earlier? Because we were divorced. We were in a bind. And the only way we can be remarried was somebody had to die. So when you go down, I think it's around like slide 80, it talks about that in Romans chapter 7. It talks about that. But if you don't know about the covenant that you were divorced and all they can marry, Yeshua had to die. That was a point for him. That's why he surrendered all. He didn't really want to. We know that because he's acting. Father, if this can pass, let it pass. But if not, let your will be done. And now the covenant is cut with us, those who are standing today. And you can be married back in, because that's what he talks about in that Romans account. A death has to go for the woman to be free. Understanding this cutting, we recognize that those who are not grafted into the covenant of promise by the blood of Messiah and guard to keep his command shall be cut off completely and have no access to life. Without him, you are in a bind, like we like to say. You can't save yourself. I can't save myself. We needed a Savior. Amen. And Yah and all his plan sent the Savior. What does the scripture say? The stone that the builders rejected became the chief cornerstone. We have to build, we have to stand on him, on what the foundation that he laid. I remember we used to sing this old song. I thought about this today. I told Yah, look, remind me of this old song. Pop probably knows it. Some of you might not know it. He said, standing on the promises of God, all other grounds are sinking sand. But when you stand on him, you have a firm foundation. I remember how the song goes, but all other grounds are sinking sand outside of him. And that's what happened. Outside of him, there's no life. He might be life for a while, until we come to know him, and we better do it quickly, because I feel sometimes like time is really running out. Cut off. You know what that means, to be cut off. In Psalms, in Tehillah 37, verse 37 and 38, watch the perfect and observe the straight. For the latter end of each is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The latter end of the wrong shall be cut off. Outside of him, you are cut off. And only by his mercy and his grace that you even have a chance of making it. Because that's what he said. I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. But he's the righteous judge that's going to come and going to judge the living and the dead on his appearing. I want to be found doing what he wants me to do, saying what he wants me to say, standing in the position where he wants me to stand. And you don't want to be found sleeping. And then yet, could you not even wait one more hour? How sad that must have been in Yeshua's life in that time, knowing that his life is about to end. His blood is about to be spilled for whosoever will. And then we want to complain. Our immersion in the name of Yeshua Messiah causes us to be grafted in as Jehovah makes us enter into his covenant and oath on the day we are immersed. The Hebrew word that's translated as covenant is bereth. Strong's H1285, which means covenant, confederacy, alliance, pledge, treaty, constitution, ordinance, or agreement. Look, when you say you're standing, stand. Don't get wishy-washy. Now ain't the time to be wishy-washy. When it looks like stuff is falling down around us. Hey, I know it's tough. We're just a handful. Compared to some churches out there, we a peanut. But you know what? We are good peanut, though. We are almond. That's it. If you're going to be a nut, be a good one. Look, this stuff is fun. I really enjoy going through this. But look, if you're going to stand in covenant with him, he's serious. Look, if you say you're going to do it, you do it. If you say, hey, look, I can tell me and Brother Chad, look, one of us, we'll be ready for Wednesday night. Unless we both coming in late. Then somebody will get a text message. But you know what? We should always be ready. Because that's what we say. It came out of our mouth. So we cut in covenant. Just with each other. But when you say you're standing for him, you stand for him. When you come out of this immersion, you say, I'm going to stand for him. I'm going to go where he goes. Though none go with me, still I will follow. You're going to put your words to the test. And look, we can make up excuses all we want. It doesn't fly by him. He'll remind you. And so however he does, in whatever way he reminds you. But he will remind you. Primarily, we take note that this term is used to describe the agreement or constitution that is established between Elohim and man. What he said, but we broke the covenant. The covenant which you broke. He said, though I was a husband to you, you broke that contract between you and me. Why? Because you're idolatry. You want to go whore around. That's what he called it. So what had to happen? Someone had to give their life in order for us to be married back. That's why he said, greater love had no man than a man would lay down his life for his friend. He calls us friends. And when we can get to that spot, how wonderful that's going to be. And this, how you get there is by latching on to this. Listening to the words. Don't listen to the speaker. Go back and look for yourself. Look at the words for yourself. Check out the covenant for yourself, because he's cutting the covenant with me. He's cutting it with you. All who are standing here today, he's cutting it with you. And such ordinances are accompanied by a sign or a pledge. And we know that sometimes when they cut covenant back then, what was one of the signs? Take off your shoe. Remember with Ruth and Boaz? You don't want it? Give me your shoe. I'll take her. I told Pop, he owes me a shoe. Strong's, this noun is believed to come from the root verb, bara, Strong's 1262, which means to eat, choose, which gives us a better understanding in the terms of a covenant meal. We're eating together and establishing covenant between the parties. And we have a wonderful meal, covenant meal that we partake every year. I love it. It's the start of our feast time. It's Pesach. I love it. To see everybody's table nice and dressed. I thought that was so beautiful. The Hebrew word for covenant, berith, Strong's 1285 in the ancient text looks like this. The bet. The ancient script has this picture as a tent. As a tent floor plan, it means house or tent. It represents family and the importance of those who are inside the tent. Where? Inside the tent. Inside the tent. It ain't nothing about outside. The importance of those who are inside. As opposed to the tent structure itself. We also recognize that the house, dwelling place of Elohim, is the body of Elohim that is built up as living stones in our Master Yeshua Messiah. A house tent speaks of your family and to whom you belong and under whom you submit and adhere to. As the house of Elohim has clear instructions. What? Did I say that? Has clear instructions for those in the house. That's awesome. The light that is his word is for those in the house. I don't know how he can stress that enough with the bet. You have to be inside. That's where the covenant is. That's where we're cutting the covenant at, for those inside. The resh, the ancient script has this letter as the picture, the head of a man. And has the meaning of the head of a man as well as chief, top, beginning, or first. It means top, as in the top of the head or of a body, as chief, as in the head of a tribe or people, as well as the one who rules the people. And we know who's our head. Every house has a head of the home, and all in the house submit to the instructions of the one who is head of the home, listening to and obeying the words that the head speaks. How powerful is that? You don't go somewhere and leave your head at home. I thought that was kind of funny that he said that, but it's true. You need the head everywhere you go. You need your head everywhere you go. But it's his rules, his house. We don't bring our rules and our ideas in his house. He don't need them. He's got his own. Yo, this ancient script has letter, which is an arm and hand, and carries the meaning of work, make, or throw. From the primary functions of the arm and hand, and it also represents worship, or giving thanks, in the extending of the hands as a gesture of this. The work of one's hands is the basic meaning of this letter, And this letter also pictures for us the outstretched arm and working hand of Elohim that is not too short to save. Sometimes we might think people are too far gone. And then we make statements like, ain't no way y'all save them. Look where they're at. Look what they're doing. We don't know. Because his arm is not too short. He reached down there and caught you. He caught me. Another thing, they're too far gone. And maybe in our eyes, that's what the trick of the enemy does. He paints pictures like that. It makes you think you're sitting in front of a fireplace warming your hand. Gets you to distract you. Makes you think that, hey, there's no way possible. All things are possible by him. Let me encourage you to say that. The Tah, this ancient script, had the letter as two cross sticks and can represent for us seal, covenant, mark, or sign. As this once again points to the complete work of Messiah and the renewal of the covenant in his blood that brings the two houses of Israel and Yehuda together in him as one. For he is not only the Aleph, but also the Tah, the beginning and the end of all creation. There will be another one like, not be another one like him. Amen. And he's given us a sign. And what is one of his signs? That he commands us every week. He tells us every week. We should know this by now. What's his sign? Shabbat. We can't get out of it. Amen. Doesn't matter what they say down the road. Don't matter what they say up the road. You know better because you have the word for yourself. Because why? You are standing here and we preach it. And we sometimes we turn blue in the face. And it might seem overwhelming, but you're going to need it. He says a sign between me and you. Because he knows who's his. He knew who was his the night they left Egypt. He said, I'm going to show you my people. Not even a dog is going to bark. I said that a while back in one of my other teachings. As we consider this word for covenant, Berith, Strong's 1285, in the ancient pictograph text, then we are able to understand the clear assurance that we have as the house or dwelling place of Elohim. Have assurance. Man. The head of the house has by this outstretched arm and hand secured for us an everlasting covenant by sealing it in his own blood. He sealed it. And we know that he done it for us on that cross. His blood was shed for everyone, not just those who were there at the time. It was that still applies today. You can't get around it. You have to go through it. Because why? Where was the blood at? On the door? So you have to go through it. It's a must. Any other way for you to try to come in, what he said? You're nothing but a thief and a robber. Once again, not my words. You can go back and check what I said, because he said that. While we certainly recognize and understand that there are many facets to the covenant that our Creator has made and established with his chosen and called out priesthood, we recognize that our Master and Elohim does not break covenant, and he remains lovingly committed to his covenant of promise with Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. And if he may ever made a covenant with you, I can promise you, even though you're waiting, he's still holding on to that covenant. He ain't broke. He's never broke it. We might have broke it, but he never. He's not a God that should lie. He's not into trickery. He's not one of the, I fooled you. Nuh-uh. You're not going to get that out of him. So if he promised you something, you hey, he doesn't need reminding? Not at all. But you can probably say, you know, in your quiet time, I remember that promise you gave me. I'm still holding on to it. You can ask about it. He promised us land. I want my land. I can't wait to get to Israel. Because during the time of Sukkot, he said, you going there. Because there'll be no rain for you. For those who don't show up.
As a covenant people of Elohim, we are to guard to do all his commands.
What? How many of them? All of them.
We got to guard them. Like it is valuable to us. This thing should be precious to you. It's you need it every day, every morning. When you go to sleep, you need it during the night. Because at times I wake up during the night, well, the first thing, I'm thinking about this. I try to program myself so I can think about these things. And sometimes I lose a little sleep over it. What else are you going to do? Where else are you going to go? He has the words of eternal life. As a covenant people of Elohim, we are to guard to do all his commands as we express our love to him in complete loving commitment to the covenants of promise that we have been grafted into. He chose us. Scripture says we didn't choose him. He chose us. Not because you were the greatest, because he loves you. Because you're willing to obey and follow and stand on what he told us and the promises that he given us. Deuteronomy 29:12. In order to establish you today as a people for himself, man, and he himself be your Elohim, as he has spoken to you, as he has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. That's it. Your founding forefathers. The promise he made with them, and it's been, that promise still stands today. Y'all don't break promises. Verse 13, in order to establish you today as a people for himself. The Hebrew word that is translated here as established comes from the root word kum, strong 6965, and it's written in the hip-til active tense, which is the causative action of the root. I said that right? Causative action of the root, and therefore means to cause, to arise, to raise, to set up, build, to establish. And we can therefore see the greater meaning behind the following verse in Psalms, Tehillah 40, verse 2. And he drew me out of the pit of destruction. I don't know about y'all, but I was there. I've been in that pit. If you ain't ever been in that pit of destruction, maybe I'm not speaking to you. But for those who are standing here today, if you've been, you know what I'm talking about. Out of the muddy clay. Because it's dirty. You were filthy. We had to be washed by the water of the word. And he set your feet upon a rock to do what? To stand. Because look what I'm taking you out of. I've given my life for you. Gave my very best. I gave my own son to give his life for you. And all I'm requiring for you to stand. But stand do how? Have your loins girded with truth. Your feet ready. The head, the helmet of salvation, the head, the sword. You're gonna need these things to stand. You're not just standing with nothing. He's not gonna tell you stand, don't give you nothing. I can promise you. He's gonna give you what you need. Give us this day our daily bread. Remember these words. He is establishing my feet. He set my feet on a rock. He established my steps. That's what David said. Man, when you stand upon him, you stand upon a firm foundation. How the song I just said? All other ground is sinking sand. But when you stand on him, you have a hope. You have a promise. You have a reward. He never wants it, it's going to be a piece of cake. So we might as well get that out of our minds. The Hebrew word that's translated as set here in Psalms 42 comes from the Hebrew root word kum, strong 6965, which is also written in the hip-til active tense. And once again, we can see from this verse
the very clear picture of how he has drawn us out and caused us to cross over in order to establish us as a people for himself. And in him, we are firmly set upon the rock, which is Yeshua Messiah, who has shown us how to walk and keep our steps in line with his word as we follow him with our all. That's, if I stop right there, I've said enough. Because that's what we should be doing. If we call him master, if we call him teacher, if we call him savior, if we call him whatever word you want to place him at, and whatever thought he is, you're going to follow what he says. You're going to obey what he says. You're going to like what he likes, and you're going to dislike what he dislikes. You're not going to compromise with it. Or we shouldn't be compromising with it. If he said don't do it, that's simple. Don't do it. And how do we walk in line with the Torah? How did he walk? He didn't go outside the he didn't walk outside the boundaries, I can tell you that. And walk out here this way and come back in over here because he didn't like that little trail. No. He walked in the guidelines of the Torah. Same way we should be walking. Following his steps. Where he leads us. And you know what? And if we don't understand it, write it down. Study it out. Look at it. Don't just, I don't understand that. I don't know why pastor's even saying that. That's a reason why. I can assure you that's a reason. Just trust what he said. Trust the word. If he's coming to you with word, you got to trust what he says. And take him at his word. Listen, I ain't making this up. He ain't making it up. But we need this. I can tell you we need this. Because this fits our life. As we take a closer look at the clear statement being made here, we can see from verse 10 to verse 13 the following summary. Summary. There you go. Thank you, B. Today, all of you are standing before Yehovah so that you enter into covenant with Yehovah in order to establish you as Yehovah's people. We want to be his people. Boy, I tell you. Anything else? It's lifeless. But yeah, we call him master. We call him teacher. He says, follow me. Do what I say. Love what I love and hate what I hate. But follow me. There's great reward. So that's that Romans 7, 125, because this is a whole nother deal. But that's the one I was talking about the marriage. And where the death had to occur. And not with you alone, I am making this covenant. And so we know that wasn't just Jews that were there when Yehovah was making the covenant, the first covenant, which we broke. He said, though I was a husband to you. And as time passed on, as new generation comes out, and we had the brink, we had the Jordan. What are you doing? Stand. I'm going to cut the same covenant. We're not going to change it. We're cutting the same covenant with those who are standing here today. Not just the Jews, everybody that was there. It didn't matter who they were. See, I'm cutting covenant with all y'all. Verse 14 highlights how this covenant and oath was not only with those who were standing there that day, as verse 15 makes it clear that his covenant is with all who stand before him today. That day, as well as those not here with us today, and therefore confirms that he is the Elohim of the living. And therefore, all who hear his voice today and obey are equipped to stand. I told you, you ain't standing without nothing. I can promise you. You ain't going to stand alone because there's someone standing with you. He might not look like it at times because with the world being so dark as it is, but trust me, I'm standing with you. I'm cutting covenant with you. I'm standing. Is he standing with me? As long as he don't fail me, I'm do my best to not fail him. And I'm going to stand upon his word. And look, it gets bumpy when you make statements.
and obey who are equipped to stand before him, enter into covenant, and be a part of his chosen people. I'm so glad he chose us. He started giving us this word, and we had a lot of people in the church at the time. And now you can see those who are still standing faithfully are still standing here today. And I'm so glad for those that stood when I wasn't here. But I'm here today, so you know what? I'm going to take my place and stand. And I need him. Remember, he don't need me. I need him. But he wants us. So he's given us this word. Hey, we got to stand on it. Deuteronomy 29:15. But with him who stands here with us today before Yehovah our Elohim, as well as with him who is not here with us today. Therefore, the covenant is confirmed through Messiah throughout the week, 7 millennia. And all who were once far off and without Elohim in this world and respond to his call are able to enter into the covenants of promise by the blood of Messiah. See, we can't get away from the blood. We have to have it. Being established as a people of Elohim as they live out according to his kingdom rules here on earth. Last time I checked, he has rules here on earth for us to follow. And it's a choice that he gives us about Ebal, about Gerizim. You can choose to follow which way you go. Well, what did he say? Choose life. Choose Gerizim. But I'm letting you know, Ebal is there too. If you slip up and you know you don't want to do it right, Ebal is there for you. Either way, you're going to get a reward. You might not like it, but you get one. The Hebrew word as translated as stands comes from the root word amad, Strong's H5975, which carries the meaning to take one stand, present oneself, abide, appoint, arise, stay, be steadfast, remain, or become a servant. And that's what I want to be, a servant unto him. But I want to abide. I want to stay. And what we learned this at? Go back. Go to Matthew. As Pastor would say, go to Matthew. And I can tell you what the slave said. I love my wife. I love my family, my children. And I want to stay here, Master. What did he do? Well, come over here, boy. Come by the doorpost. Tick, 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 tick. And nail him right there. For the world to see that he belongs to me. That's what he had to do. So this is where you learn this stuff. It's how you stay. I can promise you, if I came here with a hammer and just a little bitty nail and I nailed you at the door, you stay. You can imagine. You stay. Maybe that's what we need to start doing. Nailing some people around here. Huh? All right. The one who stands today, we're not literally going to nail nobody. Don't take that literal now. I'm making it funny. The one who stands today has a clear responsibility. What? What is this teaching us? Responsible? How to be responsible? Of taking one stand and serving in perfection and in truth. Hallelujah. What? In perfection and truth. He said, well, I ain't perfect. You better go back and check. If you found the scripture, what it's supposed to be telling you, doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're walking in perfection. The world might not see it that way. But I can tell you what Yah sees you. It looks good to me. And Jeremiah 7, we see how Jeremiah was told to stand in the gate of the house of Yehovah and do what? Proclaim the word. What I just read with Shaul a little while ago, Timothy. Proclaim the word. This is what Jeremiah says. This is when you go left. No matter which way you go, left or right, he's telling you proclaim the word. Of Yehovah to all who are entering the gate to bow down to Yehovah.
I'm going to stop right there. You gave me my little 5-minute card. But I want to tell you, just this stuff is good. It'll get on you. Look, you can't put it down. It's because you need it every day, our daily bread. We have to have it. Without it, we don't make it. But we need him. So, let's get ready for Shabbat. Friday night, let's remember Sister Kim. We had some good reports about her. She's coming home next week. Right, Brother Eddie? Next week, she's coming home. Karen got a new heart. That's a miracle in itself. You know, and doing well. So, and look, those who are not here, let's remember them. My mother-in-law, yeah, not feeling well. The enemy's out to do a job. Kill, steal, and destroy. He said he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter where you live, what car you drive. What he does fear is what you have in you. So what does the scripture say? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And that's what we got to hold on to, these promises. We got to remember these things, what he tells us. So that's all I have. Pastor Charlotte?